I think most everyone knows today's hardware and software is built by many different players, and they're often spread out all over the world through offshore and outsourcing manufacturing. And while the threat is not new, it just strikes me that, one, we're not addressing the problem as quickly or at a level of the same equal complexity as those that are operating with malintent. So in 2013, we need to expect that the bad guys will attempt to bury code in devices that allows them to exfiltrate data. Malware authors will attempt to add their payloads to out-of-the-box software and devices, and the cyber criminals will continue to collect credentials and account information. So, you know, especially given the fiscal challenges going into the new year and agencies having to reduce costs, the government will be even more challenged and vulnerable to supply chain weaknesses. And, you know, and the software outsourcing example, I think, is good in that in order to save money and to make that work efficiently and fiscally, when we outsource that stuff, we often release the people that were working in that area before, so we have to go to another third party since we don't have people left to actually test what is coming back to us.
What would you like to see as a first step in order to secure the supply chain? Is that changing the outsourcing procedure, or is there something deeper?
Well, I think most of it lies in well-written contracts and just knowing where your items are manufactured, what are the terms around the manufacturing protection along all steps of the way in terms of getting delivery. But in many cases, as we know, the outsourcers then turn around and subcontract this to other places. And it's a very dynamic process that is constantly changing. So, you know, I say contracts is a place you have to start, but I fully recognize that it is a challenge to actually to write an enforceable contract terms in order to keep up with it. But to me, it's the place to start.
So another area that you're looking at also is maybe there's some sort of disaster like Hurricane Sandy or some sort of event that disrupts government operations. What are the ways that IT professionals and information security professionals can plan for disaster recovery events?
Oh, I think it's been a high priority for a long time. It's been one that I find that's often neglected, almost like out of sight, out of mind. And Sandy just opens our eyes and actually forces us to go in and in real time test business continuity plans, disaster plans, and all the things that occur after a major event has happened. Same thing occurs whether it's an IT breach or a nation state attack or anything like that. We just don't test our plans often enough, and I'm assuming that we have them. But the reason this is important is, you know, data is arguably one of the most critical assets to protect and maintain for government as we go into 2013. And it's the IT people are always in the hot seat in times of disaster or breaches when it comes to these type of attacks. So, you know, any events that have the potential to impact our operations negatively deserve a soundly constructed and tested plan that can, quote, weather the storm, whether it be natural, physical, or logical. And, you know, I've been through a lot of tests on these plans, and every time you do one, you find something that just doesn't work the way it's supposed to. So it makes it quite risky if you haven't actually put your people through a good sound test.
I guess as we look forward, a major event could be a devastating cyber attack on the country. How do you see the conversation switching or at least maybe even evolving next year? There wasn't a comprehensive cybersecurity bill passed this year, and right now there's executive order in the works. But do you see the conversation changing or maybe the focus changing next year?
I think we're focused on it as is. It's just how does it develop and what significant next steps are going to be occurring along the way. But, you know, cybersecurity in 2012 will be remembered for these high-impact nation-state attacks such as Stuxnet, Stuxnet, and Flame. And then the unsuccessful legal attempts to help us resolve and put some order on some of these things has been stalemated for years now. And it's got enough attention, enough people are recognizing it as important enough, particularly in the Congress and industry, who sees this as a wave of regulation coming at them, that it's become quite political. So we have a mix here of very dangerous potentials for cyber attacks and in areas that particularly are critical infrastructure. That is, we're in over 50,000 different spots when it comes to critical infrastructure, once we get that defined. And with the budgets tight, security personnel scarce, protection of all this infrastructure, to me, is going to be a great cause for concern, because things have a way of escalating. You fire a shot, they fire two shots back. And that type of mentality happens very, very quickly. At the tap of a keyboard.
Are you confident that the federal government or Congress can take big steps towards reforming the cybersecurity situation for the United States?
Well, I hate to be the skeptic on this, but the longer this goes, the tougher it's going to be to get legislation moving on it. It just seems like we're going in the wrong direction. The more important it becomes, the more difficult it is to get meaningful legislation on it. We've built something in terms of legislative proposals at this point are so huge, so complex, that there's not a lot of people who actually know what are in those. So having looked at some of the drafts of the executive order coming out, you know, that will help, but you can't really be confident that will be capable of having enough teeth in it to actually make a huge difference. It will definitely provide some clarity to the federal agencies on things that are important, so maybe we can work together a little better on it, force a little collaboration.